So one of the amazing, maybe to emphasize its importance, amazing truths that about our lives is that to know the world, the external world, anything about the external world, and kind of there's only two ways that we know really know it. One is how the world comes into us through our sense, five senses. We see it, we hear it, we smell it, we taste it, we feel it tactically. The other way is we think about it. We have ideas about it. And those ideas and thoughts have some relationship to what's out there in the world. But it's mediated through those thoughts, through those ideas as they appear in our mind. And the same kind of truth is true about the way we know ourselves. There's only two ways in which we know ourselves, come to know ourselves. It's through the five senses, the data that comes in to our senses about ourselves. And then there's the thoughts and ideas that the mind has about who we are. And there might be some basis in reality about the thoughts and ideas we have. But they are still thoughts and ideas that we have. Maybe partly based in reality, partly based on shared constructions that we have with society. Some of them are just simply creatively made up in our own minds. Those are the only ways in which we know ourselves, know the world. And if we realize that, and then we sit quietly, really in the present moment, we start to discover that the data coming in is seldom seen as just hearing, listening, tasting, touching, but how quickly the mind of thoughts and ideas interprets or comes into play. So much so that we don't realize that we don't see only the sense data coming in. We see through the filter of these ideas, interpretations, thoughts we have about them. The bell rang around the building, indicating that there was going to be a sitting soon. There's the bell, the sound, and some of you, with that, almost immediately recognize it. Oh, it's time to go sit. That's what it's for. That's it. Accurate enough, innocent enough. But that information about what this bell indicates is not carried in the sound itself. I could ring the bell right now up here for no reason at all, except to make a point that the bell can ring without any meaning, any thought, idea of what it's for. And probably, hopefully, the next time I ring it, it'll indicate this is the end of the sitting. That information doesn't not held carried in the bell sound, But you already have adopted and learned an idea of what the bell means. To appreciate, really appreciate, that you're contributing through the formation of an idea in your mind, that somehow deep in your consciousness, oh, that means the end. The end is here. That's a thought. That's an idea. The ideas can be even more complicated. This means that it's the end of a sitting for a retreat, for a 3-week retreat. This means that's the end of a particular sitting for a 3-week retreat at IRC, where we do things in a certain way. The bell rings to end the sitting, and the idea comes, should I bow and end the sitting, or should I continue sitting? The thought arises in the mind, wow, this was a really good sitting. This is a good sitting. Or the thought arises in the mind, wow, that was a difficult, challenging sitting. Or the thought arises, I was a lousy meditator this last sitting. So all these things that come and go, that tell us or inform us or create stories about who we are, they're all occurring as phenomena that comes and goes. All the ways that we know the world are mediated through sensations that come and go, and are mediated by the ideas we have. And the ideas suggest that things are permanent and stable out there in the world. But the thoughts themselves come and go. The way that you know yourself, maybe they create a sense of stability. That things are that way in you. I'm always this way. I'm always struggling. I'm always someone who is thinking about food at retreats. I'm always have difficulty with my breathing. I'm always, or it maybe not always, I know better than that, but you know, for now, I'm just really stuck on this way of being. But these are conclusions, these are thoughts themselves, and they're making claims about what is permanent, or they suggest that things are enduring, and we believe them. We believe our thoughts, whether consciously or unconsciously. We believe the message. We believe the idea of enduring value, that this is the way things are. There's another approach, which is to appreciate that the thought, I'm always going to be this way, has just appeared. And it doesn't stay, that particular thought. You having thoughts now, probably some of you, in response to me saying all this. It might be, wow, this is interesting. It might be, this is not right. Gil doesn't understand. Or it could be, I wish you'd stop talking. This is the beginning of a retreat, you know, this important sitting. And whatever it might be, the thought you have, the attitude, the momentary, has a momentariness to it. It appears and disappears. And then it might reappear very quickly and go and reappear really right away. So it suggests that it's constant. But everything you know about the world, everything you know about yourself, is part of a stream of things coming and going. It's part of the river of experience. It's always here. Where some of it gives a semblance of being permanent, of being constant, enduring. The mind can be tricked into the idea that it's enduring by getting involved in the thoughts. And it's a little bit like someone who is in a river floating along nicely, and they've stepped up off the river onto the shore, and they think they're still in the river, but now they've left the current, left the river, being carried on a conveyor belt and stepped off, and they're no longer being carried along. We step out of the present moment when we start thinking about things. And even if our thinking is 50% accurate, any idea it gives that things are enduring takes us out of the river of what is inconstant, what's constantly changing. And this Dharma practice is a practice of learning, trusting, appreciating the benefits of being in the stream of change, moment by moment. And doing so puts us in a way, it puts us in a, puts us into kind of a flow which is amazingly forgiving. You could have the thought that I just had the wrong kind of thought for being a meditator. I don't know what that could be, but no one's ever had such a wrong thought meditating as what I just had. And then we kind of latch on to this is really the way it is, and I'm always this way, and so we get caught, we leave the river of change to evaluate, to believe, to react, to get caught up in, being tangled, knotted in that thought. But it's so forgiving to be in the river because it's just, wow, that was an amazing, surprising thought to have, and now it's gone. We don't get entangled in it. We don't get knotted up. The idea of permanence is a knot, is an entanglement, is an involvement. So it's very forgiving when we say, oh, it was just a momentary thought, attitude, feeling, desire. It too comes and goes. Whatever arises will pass. And it's passing much faster than you actually recognize because of being entangled, knotted up with what's happening with the thoughts and ideas. And finally, one of the benefits of living or observing, seeing how much things are always changing. It can be like watching, actually literally sitting on the bank of a river and just watching the changing patterns of flow of the river as it goes by. It can be so absorbing. Many people don't get bored watching things like a river flowing by. Watching the waves on the beach come and go and come and go. Watching the clouds above form and shift and change. Watching a campfire just into the night, just watching the flames shift and change and move. It can be very absorbing, be very calming, it can be very freeing, partly because it takes us away from being knotted up, preoccupied. It's possible to get deeply absorbed, deeply at rest, deeply at peace, just watching how everything comes and goes, especially all the thoughts. If we're awake enough to see that thoughts are just always kind of momentary phenomena, except when we get entangled in them. And then to begin seeing that the entanglements themselves, the leaning in, the holding on, the stickiness, the wanting to be engaged, are themselves part of the flow. They come and go as well. Even the idea that it's happening to me is an idea, a feeling that comes and goes. So we sit to meditate. We're here. Wherever here is for you, that's your here. And when the mind is busy, spinning thoughts and ideas, it means that it's hard to see how things change. The more thoughts, the busier we are with thoughts and ideas, the more we're pulled into a world of permanence. This is the way things are. The quieter the thinking mind is, more we can see that things change, thoughts come and go. Can you find within yourself some place of stillness? Is there a stillness in your body anywhere? Not a stillness of being held in check, but a soft, quiet calm. stillness, a quiet place within, that highlights all the comings and goings that are flowing through. Maybe beginning with the breathing. The sensations of breathing come and go. They flow back and forth. And any thoughts you have about breathing, being mindful of breathing, how well you're doing or not doing, they can be seen as just coming and going as well. Becoming aware of any degree of quiet spaciousness in the mind. Like the spaciousness of the sky allows clouds to form and dissolve and move along. The spaciousness of the mind allows thoughts to come and go. And as you're aware of things coming and going in whatever way they are, if there's something that's not changing, something seems more enduring, bring to it, match it with a kind of enduring attention. Hold it in awareness. Gaze upon it kindly. With as much continuity of tension as there's continuity of the phenomena. Until you start seeing that in fact it does change. Or you start seeing the knot that is there one of the subconscious ways in which we are knotted up with thoughts is believing a thought. Or liking a thought, or being troubled by the thought. And while some thoughts maybe should be believed, they don't have to be believed all the time. Another option is to just let them come and go. No need to relate to them as something that's to be believed or heeded. Come back to the river of flowing change. Let the river of change flow over you, flow through you. Our thoughts have a way of sneaking in, so that as we're thinking, they will give us a sense of something as permanent and constant, something as real or important, as we stay entangled in the thoughts. But then to remember to include thinking as part of the field of mindfulness. So that we see that thinking itself is part of the stream of changing experience. If there is a denseness or pressure, constriction associated with a sense of self, that contributes to a sense of constancy or permanence, that there's something enduring. But if it's seen just as pressure, just as denseness, then we begin to return to the river of change. The denseness can begin to dissolve. Soften. Be moistened. Until there is no denseness, no pressure. And ideas of self are just ideas that come and go. begins and ends here in this body and mind. If we stay close in to really experience with intimacy the place where the world begins, thoughts begin, feelings begin, sensations begin, then we see that that whole world also ends. To begin again, to end again. It's an intimate place. Nothing is more intimate. Than where things begin and end in our experience, moment by moment. Many years ago, I told a teacher who did not know, who was not a mindfulness insight practitioner, that I practiced insight meditation. And he said, "Oh, that's where the attention is 360 degrees." Kind of a delightful image. The idea is that everything gets included. There's no outside. As soon as we have something that's we're stuck on, permanent, this is how it is, Chances are that if we have a knot, we're caught in something, the attention isn't 360 degrees. Something is not included. Something has been left out. And as it's left out, it gives the illusion that there's something which doesn't come and go. May your practice include everything. Nothing outside of mindfulness. Thank you.